Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to speak on the subject that I call victory in Christ. So I want you to say with me, say, I have victory in Christ. Now tell yourself, say, I have victory in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why we thank God for victory is because it's already done. Victory is a position. It's not just your experience. It is first of all a position before it's an experience. So you don't earn victory. You only receive victory. You position yourself as one who understands his position or her position in victory. So you don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it means that you are in liberty. So victory is your position. Victory is not your doing. Victory is the work of somebody on the cross who gave his life for you and I, and you enjoy victory. Somebody say amen. That is the reason why after the Bible has talked about the armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit. He says, having done all to stand. He didn't say having done all to fight. He said having done all to stand. Because fighting suggests that you are going on a conquest to attain a victory. But he says no. You are putting the armor to stand. Because victory was won before you put on the armor. So the purpose of the armor is to stand your ground and ensure that the victory you have in Christ is your experience. Come on, amen. So it says, having done all to stand, you stand therefore. So we stand on what we know we have in Christ. Your body might be feeling sick, but you stand on healing. You speak on your position because it's your position. So that's victory. You must understand the mentality behind victory. And let me say something. Life is not without challenges. Everybody goes through challenges. Listen, everybody, including those who you think are the closest to God. Everybody has challenges. It's just that we take on challenges differently. If some people tell you they have problems, you will not believe it because they smile very well and looks like they cover things up very well. But everybody is going through something. The team touch them. Last Sunday, I was talking about offenses. And the objective of offense is not just to heal. Because healing from the hurt is not the objective. The objective is purpose and fruitfulness, productivity. That before you were traumatized by what traumatized you, there was a purpose before the trauma. So now that the trauma came and you are going through healing, the healing is not the purpose, it's not the end. The healing is to the intent that you are positioned for purpose. But the problem we have today is that many people go through trauma and go through hurt and are stuck either in the process of the healing or are stuck with the healing and cannot move further or beyond the healing. Let me tell you something. The devil is not as interested at what he's attacking you with as much as he's interested in how you think after the attack. Because he wants you to have a victory. victim mentality. Victim mentality. After challenges and problems, some people either have a victor mentality or a victim mentality. I've seen a lot of people who have victim mentalities. And I'm going to define victim mentality. We'll talk about that, then we'll come to victory in Christ. So the scripture challenges us on how we think. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. You don't have a failed mind. You don't have a flawed mind. You are born again. The born again spirit should think in a particular way. It is an aberration to think failure or to think defeat or to think fear because you are born again. So we can't have a victim mindset towards life. It says, but we have, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have. Somebody say, but I have. But we have the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I have that bottle? Give me that bottle of water. Let me illustrate something. So, what is the shape of water? It's not a trick question. Just answer. What is the shape of water? So, water is shapeless depending on the condition. If the temperature is very low, it takes a shape. If the temperature is very high, you can't even see it. But depending on the condition. So, the shape of water is shapeless. But what is the shape of this water? Shape of the bottle. So, this water is the shape of this bottle. Now, let me say something. Your life is the water. Your mind is the bottle. So, your life will go according to the shape of your mind. That is why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible did not say what a man thinks. He says, as he thinks. So there is a thought pattern. There's a way your mind works that determines your experiences. Your consciousness determines your reality. Are you with me, somebody? So if you want to change your life, you change your mind. There is nobody who was born into a perfect condition. So there was some form of deficit, whether we like it or not. And because of that deficit, you are shaped from the place of a deficit. And when the Bible says you renew your mind, you have to renew your mind in accordance to the word of God. And to be more specific, to the word of Christ. Because everything that Christ is everything that defines your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who Jesus is who I am. Who Jesus is not who I am. You know, when you're reading the passages of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see Jesus doing miracles, you must learn to see what side of the page you are on. You must learn to see that you are not the one, you are not the 5,000 that is fed. You are the one feeding the 5,000, because Jesus has given you a prototype of how to live. You are not the one who they turned water into wine for. You are the one turning water into wine. When men will say there is a casting down, we will say there's a lifting up, because our conversation is different. Your mind has to be different. You can't think defeat. So you cannot afford to have a victim mentality. Because you go through stuff. Everybody, they go through stuff. Everybody, life happens to everybody. But some people just know how to pick themselves up and keep on moving. And they tell themselves, I am the healed of God. I'm the favored of God. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. All my needs are met. Some people just know how to talk themselves into who they are. Some people know how to do it. And you just look and you allow life happen to you without using the tools that God has given to you. You engage your mind. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. The problem also is that people don't also know how to think. You see, what I just said now is powerful. I wish you understand it. People don't know how to think. He says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let me tell you, people don't know how to think. And I say this because everybody has a deficiency. When I'm talking about your Adamic side, your nature, your natural side, you are coming from some sort of deficiency. Now, there is a way you think which is normal to you. And according to you, it is the right way to think. Okay, you don't understand what I'm saying. There is a way you think. It's just like what they call the acquired taste. And all this war between, when I went to Ghana, I think it was late last year. And some of my Ghana brothers and friends were saying, let's see which of the jollof is better. Either the Ghana jollof or the Nigerian jollof. So I tasted their Ghana jollof. And I've come to the conclusion by my verdict. So as we move on with the message, it's what you call acquired taste. Your mother's soup is sweet because it's your mother's soup. That's how you were formed. So that's why I like Nigerian jollof. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if you were born in the U.S., you may not like spicy food as you like it now. Because what you are used to is what was normal to you. I'm telling you that there's a way your mind works now. You think it is the right way. But until you learn to put how your mind works that is normal to you in juxtaposition with the Word of God, to check the validity and correctness of your mind, you might be moving as one who doesn't know where he's going. Because there's a way that seemeth right, but the end is destruction. Have you wondered, you thought when you were growing up that your father was the richest man. It was when you went to school, you saw other children, and you knew how far. Are you with me? You thought you were the most intelligent guy in the block. And when you saw that there were certain things you were struggling with that other people were doing easily, that's when you knew that I am intelligent. But intelligent people, you thought you were beautiful until you went to class in your SS3 and you saw somebody there and you said, the Lord truly is good. So there's a way you think. There's a way your mind works. You think the way your mind is working is the right way. But if you don't use the word as your leveler, you will never know that what is normal to you is not correct. So God wants you to always use the word of God, which is the Bible, as your corrector. It is your leveler. It brings you into perspective of life. There are some things I thought, I grew up a good boy. Yes, and I say that with all humility. I grew up a good boy. But I saw that my goodness was not enough. I saw that my nature could not sustain the very character of God's love. My goodness could not match with the... There was an elastic limit to my goodness. I saw that when pressure came, my goodness could fall. There was a way my mind was working, but I had to bring the word of God to it. Are you with me, somebody? So there's a way that seemeth right. And that is that's the blessing we have in leadership, where people tell you this is the way to go. When they were leading you out of arrogance, you were saying, I don't like where my leader is taking me to. But because at that time, you can't see the right way, so you won't understand it. But many years later, you will come to appreciate what the leader was doing. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end is destruction. When you go through problems, God doesn't want you to be a victim of life. Slap your neighbor a high five. Say, you are not a victim of life. What is victory for the believer? Victory for the believer, right? God gives us the victory Christ has earned, not what we work for. And the victory of the believer is hinged on what Christ did on the cross. As far as Jesus rose on that third day, oh my God, that is your victory. I was telling them in the first service that God used all the power in heaven and within himself. He reserved it until the death of Christ. That on the third day when Jesus was about to be raised up, he unleashed all the powers in him. So there's no power kept somewhere. Yeah. He unleashed all the powers, and it is with that power he raised up Christ from the dead. Now, do you know what the Bible says about you? It says, Paul writes to the Ephesian church. He says, I wish that your eyes are open, that you know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead. So he's saying that the same power he raised up Jesus with is inside you. Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus is in me, and you are behaving like you are a victim. Come on, you must learn to look at mountains and say, mountains be still, be cast into the seas. You must be able to look at the fire and say, you will not burn me. I go through the fire and I come out without smoke. I'm not a victim of life. That is victory for the believer. The believer's victory is the victory of the Christ and his cross. The victory begins from the cross. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Do you have the mindset of a victor or a victim? I'm asking you today. So what is the victim mentality? This is not something you were born with. You see, when people have a victim mentality, they were not born with it. It's a learned behavior. You either got it from social environment or from trauma or from failure, and then the victim mentality began to grow. A victim mentality is when a person, this is my definition of victim mentality, it is when you blame everyone else for what happens in your world. That's someone who has a victim mind. You blame everybody for what happens in your world. A victim mentality is when a person thinks that the future only holds bad things for them. It brings with it a sense of helplessness. That's a victim mentality. And listen, I want everybody in TSB to do well. Nobody will give excuses to say it's because my uncle did not pick my call. That devil is a liar. Nobody will say it's because I was not born with a silver spoon. You don't have to be born with a silver spoon. You will feed nations with silver spoons. So, I don't want anybody to give excuse, because the Bible even talks about the fact that you will stand before God and give account for yourself. So don't hinge your life, don't build your life around explanations because of what this person did or what this person did not do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, there are people who have been truly victimized. I mean, people who have been raped, people who have been abused. Truly victimized. It is of no fault of theirs. There are people who grew up and did not meet their parents. Some never knew their moms. Some never knew their fathers. But we thank God for one thing. Let me show you something in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 14. But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. So he takes it into his hands. To you the helpless commits himself. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 14. You have been the helper of the fatherless. So we serve God who is the helper of the fatherless. You may not have a father. You may not have a mother. You may not have a best friend. You may not have the privileges. But you have a helper of the fatherless. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Am I talking to people who are sleeping in the house today? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So you have a helper of the fatherless. What are the signs of a victim mentality? I'm going to read out a few signs of people who have a victim mentality. Number one, you blame others for the way your life is. Never taking responsibility, always deflecting. Number two, you truly think life is against you. There are people who think like that. No matter what happens, you know, you just take the position of a defense. Because it feels like everything is against you. Listen, my dear brother and my sister, everything is not against you. Sometimes the things that look like they are against you are actually working for you. Are you following what I'm saying now? Another one is you have trouble coping with people in your life and feel powerless against them. You have trouble coping with problems. I mean to say problems. You have trouble coping with problems in your life and feel powerless against them. That is someone who has a victim mentality. Small issue comes and you are stuck. Stop behaving as if you are helpless. Stop behaving as if you don't have what it takes to come out of your troubles. Another one is you feel stuck in life and approach things with a negative attitude. Have you seen people who are first negative before they are positive? Those are people who have victim mentalities. First negative before they are positive. You feel attacked when someone tries to offer helpful feedback. Some people don't know how to take feedback. They don't know how to receive correction. Know how to receive guidance. And everything looks like an attack to you. Everything feels like judgment to you. That is a victim mindset. You must be delivered from a victim mentality. You feel bad for yourself. This is another point. You feel bad for yourself, which gives you a false sense of comfort. It gives you some relief or pleasure. You feel so bad for yourself. You lock yourself in the room. You are not praying. You are not meditating on the word. You are not even singing and worshiping. All you are doing is you are just thinking about all the bad things that have happened to you. And you sulk in it. You enjoy it. I don't even know if you are enjoying it. You are just punishing yourself. When the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything in prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all other, it will guard your heart through all of it. When you're alone, don't feel sorry for yourself, because you have answers to your questions. What it takes to come out of where you are is within you. There is much power inside. I'm preaching better than you are responding. Another point is, you attract people who blame others and complain about their own lives. Those are people who have victim mentality. If all your friends are murmurers, gossips, complainers, watch out for complaint. Now, you know, I said 2 Sundays ago that we must give ourselves 7 days or 1 week straight at least without complaining. Do you remember? Okay. So, when the light issue started to hit me. Where are those who are in band A? Band A, band A people, where were they? Wakoyo band A, well done. I didn't know when I almost say, now wow, this light thing. Now wow, now so what could they do for here? As I was about to say it, something just reminded me, pastor, preacher, remember you told people not to complain. And before you know it, I switched it. I said, oh, all my needs are met. I swallowed the thing. I changed. I said, all my needs. I mean, that's how to do life. That's how to do life. Always complaining. Where has complaining led you to now? You complain, nothing is changing. Another sign of those who are in a victim or victim mentality is that it's difficult for you to examine yourself and make changes. It is hard to examine yourself and make the necessary changes that you need. It's as if you are pushing trailer. That's a victim mind. Also, a victim mentality lives in compromise, because I've seen people who are abused and begin to live out their abuse. So if you've heard the word, hurt people hurt people. Have you heard that before? And also, misery looks for company. Somebody goes through a trauma, and before you know it, he's replicating it with his son. Or you experience a trauma by exposure with your parents, you are replicating it with your wife. God has not given you the spirit of fear. We thank God because we have victory in Christ Jesus. Are there people who have victory in Christ here? Somebody say, I have victory in Christ. I'm not a victim of life. God wants you to have a victor mentality. And a victor mentality is those. Let me define a victor mentality. A victor mentality is one who sees himself through the eyes of Christ. A victor mentality is one who sees himself the way God sees him. That's a victor. That your experiences doesn't shift the position of your victory. That's a victor. So you can look at someone who does not have shishi now. But I tell you, the guy is walking more gallantly than those who are driving G-wagons. You are entering your keke with dignity. You are trekking with dignity because you know it's not for long. It's just a matter of time. And it looks like things are not panning out now. Ooh, but the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I need to have the victor mind, because the victor mind already settles your posture. It affects your position. Your consciousness determines your reality. You know, I was telling them in the first service, a lot of people like to personalize pain. Say, my pain, your pain. Well done. I didn't know it's your pain. He said, I've come to terms with my pain. Wow. I've come to understand my pain. Wakoyo. I've come to see that this is how I respond in my pain. My pain. I don't get pain. The Bible says he carried our sorrows. He bore upon himself our grief and our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. We don't have any pain that is called my pain. All the pain, he carried it on the cross. Some people can just be unnecessarily sensitive to my pain. Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Thank God I don't understand, but we have a high priest who understands. And he's telling you that because of what he has done, you don't need to sit down in that place and feel pity for yourself. Stop having a pity party around you. Move, because God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You are victorious in Christ. You are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Am I talking to victorious people right now? If you are victorious, wave your hands and say, I am victorious. Stop behaving as if, come and help me, Paul. Play some piano so that the spirit will. Where's Ebenezer? Ebenezer, come and join Paul. Let's add some Magedabaya, the anointing of God. The Holy Ghost and music, they're not the quarrel. Praise God. Now, there are examples, I'm going to close very soon. There are examples of people in the Bible who were victimized but overcame. And my best example is Jesus. Oof! Jesus, he was victimized because everything they said about him, he was innocent. Jesus. Jesus shows us how to live out being a victor. There is no victim mentality in Christ. He was completely without sin, but the Bible says he bore upon him the sin of the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. I want to show you something there about Jesus. He was victimized, but he overcame. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. He says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Next verse. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. So he didn't say, do me, I do you back. No. When he suffered, he did not threaten anybody, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus. I mean, he was on the cross. He was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He said it while he was on the cross, not when he came down. He didn't have a victim mentality. Jesus, he was comfortable in his suffering. You know, some people are going through stuff and you want everybody to suffer with you. Have you seen those kind of people before? If they are going through something, everybody who is around them, you must follow. You must go through what I'm going through. But you see, Jesus was, he says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. Jesus, our good example. Another example is Paul the Apostle. He was thrown in jail for the cause of Christ. And it was in jail Paul wrote the book of Philippians. Have you read the book of Philippians before? The book of Philippians is that book in Philippians 1 verse 12 where he says, my chains have worked for the furtherance of the gospel. You know what that means? It means that my being in custody, in jail, has further perpetuated the preaching of the gospel. I turn my suffering into an opportunity for Christ. My suffering for purpose. My pain for purpose. It was because the man was blind from birth, but that's how God gets his glory. It was a man called Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas in prison. But if they were not in prison, the jailer would not have received Christ. Are you with me, somebody? It was when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, inside problem. That was when the God of Israel, Yahweh, was acknowledged in Babylon. So sometimes sufferings are working together for good. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Because even though you are going through something right now, just wait a little moment because everything is going to make sense at the end of it. Satan thought he was poking Jesus, but he died so that many sons will come to glory. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul is our good example. It is in this same Philippians where he wrote this book in jail that he talked about joy. He said in chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice. How can somebody rejoice in prison? You can see Paul writing a letter from jail, from prison, from Kuje prison. Are you with me now? And in his letter, you are not seeing bitterness in the letter. You are not seeing how to escape in the letter. You are not seeing someone who has bad belle inside the letter. Instead, he's telling people who are not in jail, finally, rejoice. And then he moves to chapter 4 and he tells them, again I say unto you, rejoice. For to say it is not grievous for me. It is needful that I tell you to rejoice. Somebody in prison is telling you outside to rejoice. Paul did not have a victim mentality. We must learn to be masters of circumstances. I pray and God brings it to pass. I prayed God does not bring it to pass. Does it change my position towards God? No. I keep on believing because I will wait until my change comes. In the waiting, I will wait. Be followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. It may not happen the way I want it, but I bless God for what I have now because I know surely it will come. That's why I said weeping may endure for a night, but joy has come. Can I prophesy to somebody right now? I decree and declare over your life that your joy has come right now. I prophesy over your life. Enter into your laughter. Enter into your rejoicing. Enter into your celebration. Enter into countless testimonies. You will begin to dance for reasons uncountable. Count your blessings and name them one by one and see what the Lord has done for you. There are some of you who just cry in the night and it flows like a tap. But God is saying something. He says, my child, be still because I am the one who masters, who knows how to wipe your tears away, who knows how to restore and fixes you as though you were never broken. That's God. The same Paul who was in prison talked about peace. Be anxious for nothing. He says, I'm the peace of God. Somebody's talking about peace in prison. And the peace of God, peace in prison. Small thing happened to you, you've lost your peace. Come on, get yourself together. Because peace must be on the inside before it goes to the outside. Did you remember that Jesus was sleeping in the boat and the storm was raging on the outside? But when he woke up from sleep, I like that part. He said he woke up from sleep and he spoke to the storm. So sleep is a type of rest. So you must have rest to speak rest outside. You must have rest inside to speak rest outside. If things are going haywire outside, you must learn to be steady in your heart, calm in your soul. Peace be still, says God. In quietness and confidence, there lies great strength. Even though things are moving, 1,000 will fall by my side, 10,000 by the other, it will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Even when people are complaining, I will not join them to complain. Because when men will say there is a casting down, we will say there is a lifting up. There's a way we talk. Because we speak peace into our inner being. Sometimes your mouth will betray you. Your mouth will talk before you think. Correct yourself. Come back to your words and say, no. I refute that. Rather, I am blessed. Rather, I am healed. Rather, the country works for me. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, I see people, God is making captains of industries. I don't know who you are, but God is lifting captains of industries, captains in the marketplace, captains in the sectors, captains in business, captains in oil and gas, captains in governance, captains in politics, captains in conglomerates, captains in international shores. God is breaking you outside of the four walls of Nigeria and he's giving you a global name. For you will call for a nation and nations you do not know will come to you. I see nations pursuing some people. US, Canada, yes, UK, Asia. They are looking for your details. I prophesy you are the preferred one. You are the chosen one. You are the one they picked out. You are the one they singled out. Oh, come on. Are you saying an amen to that? You are the one that is selected. You are the one that is preferred. If you are the one I'm talking about, shout amen, somebody. You can't have a victim mentality to life. You are a victor. There's a way victors talk. There's a way victors think. Another person who was victimized but still overcame is Joseph in the Bible. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Have you ever been? Okay, I was going to say, have you ever been sold? Have you ever been sold? I don't even want to use the word betray. But for the lack of a better word, let's use it. Have you ever been betrayed by your blood? It's worse than when your friend turned their backs on you. But when family do their own, it a pain. Subhanallah. It a pain. When blood turns her back on you, man of God, is painful. Joseph's brothers sold him. And they did a makeup story that he died to cover up the whole thing. They went to tell the father that he died. What a pain. He was victimized. That's legitimate. Then he now got to the place where they sold him. A woman tried to seduce him, Potiphar's wife. And when she saw she wasn't having her way, she turned the whole story to say that he was trying to have his way with her. Because seduction no work. And they threw Joseph straight into prison. Victimization number two. Something that insulted his integrity, insulted his, you know, now you sue for deformation of character, but he was a slave. He didn't have that opportunity. Because slaves don't have that kind of privilege. Because he was serving under Potiphar's house. He now got to prison. And he ministered to a dear brother in prison. And the brother told him, when I come out of prison, I will remember you. The guy forgot him. Betrayal upon betrayal. You know, that kind of thing, you wonder if you are in the will of God. When you are having back-to-back challenges. But sometimes the proof that you are in God's will is when things may not seem to work. But on the outside, that's what it looks like. But on the inside, God is working something powerful in you. God is making himself glorified. So that when you come out of the tunnel, nobody will be able to take glory out of what he has done for you. Are there people in this house who have come out of things that nobody has come out of? Who came out of things that you didn't think you can survive, but you are standing here today and you survived it. You made it. You stepped out of it. When the enemy came like a flood, the Lord lifted up a standard against the enemy. God was your shield. God was your buckler. God was your present help. When nobody knew how bad the problem was, God touched his hands, or he placed his hands on your body and healed your body. God provided supernaturally, and money from nowhere came. You had nowhere to live in Abuja, but somehow you never slept on the road. God was your sustainer. God was your increase. God was your divine provider. God was your helper. And then you dare say God is not faithful? Hey, sometimes you just need to look back at your yesterday testimonies to know that tomorrow's testimonies is possible. And I'm praying and prophesying to someone, the womb of your possibility is opened, because great things are about to happen in your life. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for those who love him. And I'm here to let you know, welcome to new seasons in your life. Welcome to new dimensions in your life. Great things are coming in your life, more than you ever knew. Something is about to shift in your life. Hey! Glory! Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19. I'm going to close. Genesis 50 and verse 19. Joseph said to his brothers, after they came back, when they saw how life was, this was Joseph's comment to his brothers. Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people. You see, Joseph was not even thinking about himself. A victim mentality thinks about himself, doesn't think about others. He was thinking about others. He said, to save many people. To save many. Do you still have the heart when God blesses you through the pain to come back to those who cursed you and say, I'm going to pour blessings from my product, from what God has given me, I'm going to give back to you? Do you still have the heart to do that? God is delivering people with the victim mentality. Because someone who has a victim mentality can never do great things. Any great man you see has a lot of things he left behind. A lot that he's not looking at. But we thank God. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph all the time. Next verse, verse 21. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. Hi, Joseph. This is what God wants you to do. This is where he wants you to be. And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. He didn't do it out of rudeness or attitude. You know, some people can be doing what is good, but with bad attitude. But he did it with good attitude. One example of someone who had a victim mentality in the Bible is Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 11. This will be the last scripture and then we pray. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 11. And Samuel said, give you a background story. Samuel was supposed to come do a sacrifice because the Philistines had come to attack the Israelites. Saul was the king. Instead of Saul to wait for Samuel to come do the sacrifice, he went ahead to do the sacrifice. So this was what Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul. What have you done? Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered burnt offerings. Next verse. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. So what is the sure message of David now should have been the sure message of Saul. But let me go back to verse 11. Let me prove to you how Saul had a victim mentality. And I told you victim mentality people, they are always self-centered. Look at it. He says, when Samuel said, what have you done? See what Saul said. When I saw that the people were scattered, so it was about the people. He was blaming the people. He blamed his own people. He blamed even the prophet. And he blamed the Philistines. He says, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not show up early, he started blaming the prophet. And he also blamed the Philistines, that the Philistines had gathered at Michmash. Then the next verse. After he blames everybody, he now says, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me. He wasn't even thinking about others. He was thinking about himself. Come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplications to the Lord. Say, this is a victim mentality. There are so many examples of people who have victim mentalities in the Bible. The 12 spies, they went to see the land flowing with milk and honey. When they saw the giants, they came back to give Moses a report. They said, hey, Moses, listen, these people are giants. We cannot take this land because these giants, they are too much for us. But there were two men in that generation called Joshua and Caleb. They said, give us this land, for we are well able. Are there people who know that they are well able? Just like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He says, we are well able. You know the report of those guys? They said, we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And so were we in their eyes. See, wahala. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. So the way they saw themselves was why they said what they said. Because of how they saw themselves. They left Egypt, but Egypt did not leave them. They entered into problems, but the problem did not leave their minds. They were slaves forever. But two men said, we are well able. Oh, people are going to rise in TSP who will say, we are well able. Because the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. at the latter time, the earnest expectation of the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What can separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulations, shall distress, shall persecutions? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor kingdoms, nor dominions, nor things present, nor things to come, will separate me from the love of God. Hey, I am well able. I can overcome. Through God we will do valiantly. For God is my shield and God is my help. God is my strength. God is the one that lifts my head. He is my glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O God, art a shield for me. When the enemy came against me, they stumbled and they fell. 1,000 fell, 10,000 fell, but I came out triumphant in glory, because God in my side is a majority to me. More are with me than those who are against them. I am an overcomer. I am victorious. I walk on my high places. God blesses me always in Christ. I triumph always in Christ. Peace is my portion. Health is my portion. Goodness is my portion. Mercy is my portion. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I experience the favor of God. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, all the way to December, I see the glory of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Hey, who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is with me. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. For the Lord has helped me. Therefore I will not be ashamed. I will set my face like a flint, and I will not be confounded. God is on my side. Favor is on my side. Goodness is on my side. Power is on my side. The anointing is working in me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am blessed on all sides, from generation to generation. I am the blessed of God. The Bible says that he has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There is no depression in my lineage. There is no sadness in my generation. Let me prophesy to somebody here. I declare that your joy has come. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. I say your joy has come. Your laughter has come. Your celebration has come. Your lifting has come. Your time has come. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted, ye everlasting doors, so the King of glory shall come in. The Bible says that your gates shall be open continually, and your gates cannot be shut. He says, see, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut that door. Let me prophesy to somebody here, the doors that are closed over your life, from today they are open. You are not hearing what I'm saying. I said from today they are open.
Amen.
Every closed door be open.
Amen.
Every shut door be open.
Amen.
The doors of finances,
yes.
The doors of industry,
yes.
The doors of international assignments,
yes.
Be open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are no victims in TSB. There are no victims here. Suffering is part of how we show Satan pepper. Because it is with through sufferings many times that the glory of God is revealed. So despise not the day of little beginnings. I'm telling somebody now. Because in a short while from now, the kind of speed God is going to give you, even men will be surprised. They'll be asking questions, when did you start?
Yeah.
and I prophesy speed on your feet. Lift up your hands right now. I decree in the name of Jesus, these hands will carry money. I decree that these hands will raise the dead. These hands will raise the dead. These hands will build houses. These hands will prosper. These hands will bless nations. These hands will feed thousands of people. These hands will sign checks. These hands will be lifted on high. I prophesy that the crown is on your head. God is lifting you up. God is establishing your family. God is establishing your life. He's giving you stability and balance. You are the blessed of God. Father, we thank you. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know that because you have Christ, you are in victory. So let's demonstrate it for just a few seconds. Celebrate God and the victory that you have in Christ. Celebrate your victory in Christ. Celebrate your victory in Christ.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.